seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13, our passage for today, serves as a calling narration for the whole of the Passion narrative. Surrounded on one side by the plot to kill Jesus, and on the other by the betrayal of Jesus, our passage, the anointing of Jesus, serves as a call to turn our eyes to the cross, focusing our attention on how God works despite the anger and hate of the world. Hear now the word of the Lord from Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13. Now while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when the disciples saw this, they were very angry and said, "Why this waste? For this ointment could have been sold for a large sum and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "Why do you trouble the woman? She has performed a good service for me. For you will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. By pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has been done will be told in remembrance of her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You don't show up at a party without an invitation. You don't show up at school on a day when the bell isn't going to ring. Nor do you show up at work without having a job. So much of our life runs on invitations and schedules, text messages, and Facebook events. The same goes for worship. We come here because we are called. Called to hear God's word. Called to praise our living and reigning Lord. Called to receive nourishment at the table. The anointing of Jesus calls us into the dining room that day. It calls us to taste the bread and smell the oil. And hear the angry disciples. And then it calls us to hear the loving words of Jesus in response. And then out of that love, we are called. Called to live into the smells and scents of the dining room that day. Called to live into the comfort of Jesus' words to the woman. Called to live for Jesus, giving him our all and trusting, despite the angry calls that might resound in our ears, that God will use us for his glory. In this calling narration, we are witnesses to blind, angry disciples. The central story in our passage is one of an unnamed woman who broke many laws. In Jesus' day, the act of a woman approaching a man was in violation of every social cue and law imaginable. And then she did more. She tipped her hand, and from a lavish jar made of alabaster, she poured the sweetest smelling ointment, smothering the smell of freshly baked bread with the smell of an expensive luxury. And from this 30-second tip of the hand, the unnamed woman caused a cry of excess from the disciples. Their brows furrowed, their eyes narrowed. Some bit their lips, some shuffled awkwardly in their places, some stood up from their places at dinner and huffed. They got very angry. The disciples' reaction was not saintly. They were very angry, full of righteous indignation. They were seething with fury for the waste of money that this 30-second tip of the hand had produced. This ointment, they said, could have been sold for a large sum, and the money given to the poor. And this is, in fact, probably true. Other gospels and commentaries alike point out that the cost of the ointment was probably a year's wages. And in addition to the expensive oil, the alabaster jar was also very expensive. Indeed, the money could have been used to feed the poor, just as Jesus had taught his disciples to do. And so, there are some that might call the disciples' anger well-warranted. Yet Jesus did not agree. He saw through the waste and scolded the disciples, saying, "Why do you trouble this woman? She has performed a good service for me." The disciples were seething with fury that a woman had approached their Lord at their dinner. They were angry at a woman who tipped her hand and in so doing poured her love for Jesus for the whole world to see. But this greater purpose, the woman's care and love for Jesus, was exactly what the disciples were blind to. Blind to this act of love, blind to the work of God in this action, blind by the smell of a lavish ointment poured on Jesus' head in a 30-second tip of the hand. Not long after the war to end all wars, another war broke out, this time on the peninsula of Korea. And for 3 years, war tore this continent and these people apart. The firefight ended in 1953, but as we all know, the tensions have continued. This spring, the tensions again have heightened, and the threat of powerful weapons had everyone sitting on edge. Yet there is one man who knows how to show his love for God. There is at least one man who knows what it means to heed the call of the Lord. You see, last spring, in the spring of 2012, this wealthy man, the owner of Forever 21, a clothing store that targets the North American teenage girl, donated 200,000 tons of food to the starving people of North Korea. And this year, he called his friends in the North Korean government again. "No," the government said. "No, we cannot take your food. It is far too costly to distribute. Why would we spend money to distribute something that comes from the United States? Plus, the people will fight over it." And so, this man whose heart yearned to follow the woman's example was discouraged by others that day. You see, the government, like the disciples, were blind to what the gift of food could do. They were blind by their anger, blind by a grudge, blind by the threats to destroy those who aren't North Korean. We, too, have stood on the other end of the phone that day. We have heard rejection. We have heard the laughter and the yelling. We, too, have experienced discouragement in this world. We have been denied jobs that we thought God was calling us to. We have been denied entrance to schools that we thought we were supposed to go to. We have stepped out in faith and not been able to see the results. We have stepped outside our comfort zones, offering to be leaders, only to hear, "You are not needed today." There are disciples around us discouraging and yelling at us. There are people who act like the North Korean government toward the man that day, denying our offers to show our love for Jesus. That night, Jesus' eyes narrowed, his brow furrowed, and in a tone that spoke volumes, Jesus said to the disciples, "Why do you trouble that woman?" For in his glare that seemed to penetrate every disciple's heart that day, he was telling the disciples to step up, to live for him like the woman was. And as the anxiety-filled silence penetrated the room, the disciples turned to each other, red in the face, and whispered, "Is he really telling us to follow a woman's example? Can this be?" Turning then to the woman, Jesus did not need to say a word. His softened eyes did all the talking. By pouring such expensive ointment, the unnamed woman showed in her 32nd tip of the hand great respect and love for her Lord. For not only did she use a lot of money in this simple act, but she demonstrated in her actions that she was willing to go where she was called to serve her Lord. Yes, the money could have been used and given to the poor, and God would surely have used that gift as well. But instead, in what we can only see is the working of the Holy Spirit, she chose to pour her love for Jesus for the whole world to see. And it was in the small action that God worked for a cause much bigger than she could ever have imagined. Her act, despite the anger, is remembered and told thousands of years later. For what the woman could not have known is the grace that penetrates the darkest day. For in that 32nd tip of the hand, she was anointing him for burial. She was doing something that honored Jesus. Jesus said, "She has performed a good service for me." In Jesus' day, the anointing of the dead was a sacred, necessary part. It was in this act which, in the stillness of the dawn, that Easter morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb to perform, only to find an empty tomb. For whenever we hear this story, we know that we are not simply reading the story of a woman pouring ointment on Jesus' head. No, we are reading the story of a miracle. God used that simple tip of the hand for something far bigger than the woman could ever have imagined. For it was at the end of the dinner, when their faces were still glowing red, that the disciples heard their Lord speak these words, "Truly, I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." For it is here at the table that we are called into the narrative of Christ's passion. It is here that we are called to live our lives in praise of our living and reigning Lord. It is here that we are called to live our lives, constantly confess we fall short. And it is here that we are called to look to Christ, who will always feed and nourish us, for he will never leave us nor forsake us. It is here at the supper table that we are called to lavishly pour our love for Christ, for when we live for him, our acts of love will be remembered. And his lavish love for us, poured out in his death on the cross, will be told whenever we pour with the 32nd tip of the hand lavishly scented oil. This we can count on. God will use our gifts, much like that of the woman's oil, to accomplish a purpose that is far larger than we ever could imagine. And so we are called to open our hands to the working of the Spirit. For despite the obstacles that we may encounter along the way, God will use us for his glory, and God will be with us all along the way. Friends, there is more to the story of that wealthy businessman. Burdened by the discouraging development, he went to a worship service led by the Calvin College Women's Chorale. During the worship service, the chorale sang the Korean folk song, Aryang. "If you go away without me, your feet will become so tired and painful that you will be unable to walk the distance required." So moved by its message, this man became determined not to abandon the North Korean people. and immediately called the North Korean government again, this time doubling his offer to 400,000 tons of food. An offer even the North Korean government could no longer refuse. When we live with our hands open to the working of God, God promises that he will work through us despite the discouragement, despite the yelling and laughter. Sending food to the North Korean government might be considered foolish. There is no guarantee that it will actually get to the starving people. So too with the women that day. There was no knowing how a man might take her act. And yet, God took what many would consider foolish and worked through it. And if God can work in these ways, surely he will work through us when we live for him. Because, like the man who offered so much to the enemy, we will be showing our love for God. God works in ways that we can never guess, through means that amaze us and bring us to our knees. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, may we hear the call into the Passion narrative and become witnesses to how God works, not just in the story of the dinner or the story of the wealthy man, but in our lives. May we too open our hands and allow expensive ointment to pour forth as we tip our hands in this world, showing our love for God and proclaiming the truth of the gospel every day. And with our hands open and our hearts willing, God will work in ways far beyond our ability to know, understand, or imagine. And for this, all God's people can say, Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, you have given to us the glorious gospel of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant that we joyfully receive the good news for ourselves so that we may gratefully share it with others, ever giving glory to you, opening our hands and our hearts to the working of your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Today, we are called to the Lord's table. We are called to taste this bread and drink this cup. We are called to receive nourishment at the table. For it is from this place and from this table that God calls us into the narrative of Christ's passion. God will use us when we open our hands and our hearts to the working of his will in all areas of our life. God will be with us, and he will never forsake us. And so you are called. All who believe in the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior are called to the table.